Hey, we might get to see that one more time. We might get to see that sight that you saw right there at the top of the stream. All you people on the audio download later on, you can't see it. That, what you saw there was a picture of Vince McMahon. He's a multi-billionaire chairman of the board with a bucket over his head, standing in the middle of the WWE gym at Titan Tower in Stamford, Connecticut. One of the locations where the Money in the Bank matches may well spill into on Sunday. I bet you don't know what that picture was from. It was from the Ice Bucket Challenge. They had Vince McMahon do the Ice Bucket Challenge. Triple H did the Ice Bucket Challenge. I don't remember if Stephanie did. I did, for those of you who remember. I remember when the Ice Bucket Challenge was a thing. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Solid Monster back with you here again. After last night's AEW Dynamite stream, where I gave myself an accidental Judas effect to the jaw, I promise you there will be no violence here on this stream. At least I'm not planning on any violence here on this stream. Before we get into everything here, I want to mention we got people streaming on in, so I want to thank everybody taking time out of their Thursday afternoon to join me here live on YouTube for yet another stream, another video stream. I'm going to be doing more of these, so I hope you're... Hope you're used to it. And also, no more hair issues with my little ECW beanie. We don't have to worry about that anymore. No more bad hair days. Not as long as you're wearing this thing. You don't got to worry about it. What's going on, everybody in the chat? Smooches, I'm wearing a hat indoors. I just explained why I'm wearing a hat indoors. Got to pay attention, man. But before I get going here, I want to just mention this real quick. There are two birthdays today that I want to acknowledge. One birthday is Kevin Owens. I do enjoy following Kevin Owens' tweets. He's always very positive. He's always posting pictures of his cats and his family and all this very wholesome stuff, animals. He's got tons of pets and animals. So today is Kevin Owens' birthday, but it's also the birthday of another podcaster, Mr. John Draper, who you may know that name, of course, from Wrestling Soup. So I want to just send a very happy birthday out to Mr. Draper. Again, I already tweeted him, but I want to just do it again here live on the air. Hopefully he's having a good day. I believe he may be broadcasting with the Soup Boys a little bit later on tonight. So I can't tip my cap, but if I could, I would tip my cap to him and wish him a very happy birthday. I'm going to be getting into the Money in the Bank stuff here in just a second, but I just wanted to let everybody know. I did go back after the stream last night. I went back and I watched the Dynamite main event again. I watched the Dynamite main event for a second time because, you know, I'm taking notes. I'm getting ready to go live. I may have missed a few things. It was even better the second time. I really enjoyed that main event, and I got to give him his props. I got to give him his just rewards. Sammy Guevara may be the greatest professional wrestler on the planet today, bar none. He's amazing. Everything this guy does is incredible. I'm becoming more and more of a fan of his. Each passing week, him and Britt Baker both really been enjoying what they've been doing. So if you did miss that main event, go back and watch. It was pretty wild. But that's AEW. That's not why we're here. We're here for WWE. And today we are here to talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up on Sunday, live and taped from the Performance Center in Orlando and WWE headquarters for the first time in Stamford, Connecticut, playing host to the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, the men's and the women's, on Sunday. Super chats are open. I see them popping up already. I'm going to read everyone that comes in. So super chats are open for those who want to send them on in. Or if you got predictions of your own, remember, you can put a message in with your super chat. So if you've got questions, if you've got predictions of your own for Money in the Bank on Sunday, feel free to drop them in here as we're streaming along. You can find the special amounts down below in the description. I kind of changed things up a little bit. I did not waste any time in getting the new Solid Monster Takes a Bump $25 super chat up. People were like, oh, you got to make that a super chat. Okay, so that's up down below if you want to chime in on that, because now that moment can live on forever. You don't have to worry about Botchamania. I'll play it right here on the stream. I don't mind. I was an idiot. I shouldn't have done that. My jaw was a little sore last night, I'm not going to lie. Both Money in the Bank ladder matches have already been taped. I believe they were taped a couple of weeks ago. Said to be in cinematic fashion. So that is the belief, is that when these matches air on Sunday, it will be in the same vein as the Boneyard match at WrestleMania, the Firefly Funhouse match. I enjoyed both. I especially enjoyed the Boneyard match, so I don't want to see them go overboard with the cinematic stuff, but I'm a fan of the cinematic stuff. I think it's cool. And the belief is that these will be filmed in cinematic fashion. All the other shows on the or matches on the show will be taking place live at the PC. My understanding is that they're going to be doing cut-ins. So they'll start the show, they'll cut into maybe the women's Money in the Bank, cut back and forth all throughout the pay-per-view. I don't know that for sure, but that is the belief as far as how they're going to handle things on Sunday. In case you didn't already know, I'm here to remind you, in case you forgot, this will be the most unique Money in the Bank ever. And the risk is worth the reward. I bet you've never heard that before. The risk is worth the reward. They've been drilling this into our brains now for weeks. Weeks and weeks and weeks. They've been climbing the corporate ladder. Climb the corporate ladder. The risk is worth the reward. The risk is worth the reward. This is all we've been hearing now for weeks and weeks and weeks on television. I think the risk to my mental health is very real. When I sit through these shows on Mondays and Fridays every single week, I'm going out of my mind. So I'll be very happy when Money in the Bank is over. We won't have to listen about the risk is worth the reward. And I also made the comment last night, you know, with everything going on in the world, and there being a lot of divided opinion on whether or not they should even be doing these shows, I don't know about that tagline. The risk is worth the reward. I'm just saying, some people are going to read into that and they're going to have a nice laugh when they say that out loud. Before I start running down the card, though, let me check in and see what's going on with you guys. Here in the Super Chat section, since we have a whole bunch of them coming in. We had some coming in before I even went live. I'm trying to see who the first one was. I think it might have been Gareth. Gareth, there he is. Actually, Gareth sent in two by... Gareth sent in two by accident, so I have to show him some love for that. Thank you, Gareth. For the Super Chat. He wants to know what my bold prediction is for Sunday. I'm gonna have a bold prediction probably for the men's when I get to the men's Money in the Bank a little bit later on. So stay tuned for that. Ray Wright and RJ, thank you. So happy that you can join me here on this stream. I hope you are safe as well. Cuba the Goat. Going on, Cuba? I think Cuba was with us last night as well. Prince Walker with the $20 drop says, since I missed the live stream yesterday, figured I would give a little extra more. Well, you didn't have to do that. I'm just glad you're able to make it today. It's the most important thing. Cameron Johnson, thank you for the $5. Oofman Entertainment. Don't forget Owen Hart's birthday as well. You know what? That's a great point. That is a great point. I did forget about that. Today is also Owen Hart's birthday. No, when Owen passed away, Owen was 34 years old, I believe, when he died in 99. He had just turned 34 years old. So he would be, what, 55? I think Owen would have turned 55 years old today. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that when he died, I'm now older than he was when he died. I don't know. When I just thinking about it like that is just a weird feeling. It's just a weird sense. But yes, thank you for pointing that out to me. Happy birthday to Owen Hart. We'll have the Owen Hart episode of Dark Side of the Ring coming up in a few weeks on Vice. That is going to be the season finale, which I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I'm kind of not. I kind of feel like it's going to be very on the heavy side, kind of like the Benoit episode was. So let's run down the card as it currently stands. I am recording this, or going live, I guess, on a Thursday. We have SmackDown tomorrow night. That is the go-home show to the pay-per-view, and you know what they like to do. Go on social media, throw out last-minute matches. I'm positive they're going to add at least one, if not two, matches after I'm done here. And I'm going to try to guess what those matches are. I have a feeling I know what they might be. One match I thought they were going to do on the pay-per-view, and maybe they still will. Maybe there'll be a non-finish tomorrow night, and they'll find a way to get them on Money in the Bank, is Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Best of friends, now they're enemies. This whole storyline has been playing out for months. They're doing the match on SmackDown tomorrow night. Seems kind of strange to blow off the first match between these two on television, you know, 2 days, 3 days before the pay-per-view. So I'm kind of hoping they'll find a way, maybe a non-finish, and they'll find a way to get them on the show, because that's a match I think that should be on the Money in the Bank card on Sunday. I think they deserve that spot. Sami Zayn, you know, we haven't seen Sami Zayn in a few weeks now. He is the Intercontinental Champion. I do know that he had his wisdom teeth removed, and apparently he was on a liquid diet, and according to him, he's ripped to shreds. I'd like to see what a ripped-to-shreds Sami Zayn looks like, because he's not one who's known for his physique. But he claims he's ripped to shreds. He's got the title. He hasn't defended it in a little bit. I don't know if he's going to be on the pay-per-view or not. I don't know if he has other reasons maybe for not being there, if he's recovered from his wisdom teeth being pulled. If he was to have a match, if he was to defend the championship on Sunday, I would think Drew Gulak would make, you know, probably for the most sensible opponent. Daniel Bryan is busy. He's going to be in the Money in the Bank match. So if there is an Intercontinental match on Sunday, I'm guessing it would be Drew Gulak, but I don't see the title changing hands. I think regardless of who he would be in there against, if he was to have a match, I don't see Sami Zayn losing the Intercontinental title. And nor should he. Nor should he. I think it's you know, premature. Premature for him to drop the championship so soon. Let's see, who else we got here? I want to make sure I get everybody. Moshmaster D says, sorry to go off topic. 5 minutes in, we're already going off topic. But if Chris Cruz had complaints over blood, maybe we should refer him to when Worlds Collide pay-per-view main event, Pero versus Conan. Yeah, Chris Cruz, I don't know, he's got some bug up his ass for some reason. I don't know what his deal is. I don't even know what he's been doing in the years. So I only know him from when he was an announcer in WCW. I don't know what he's been doing since. Obviously, he's gainfully employed. He's out of the wrestling business, I think. He's doing other things. I don't know what business it is of his to go file complaints with different state athletic commissions. I mean, look, if the company was doing something that was overly egregious, then go ahead, you know, shine a light on it. They had blood in a match in the main event of a pay-per-view. And he goes and snitches them off, and now AEW owes $10,000, which is nothing for Tony Khan. If I'm them, I'm playing it up. They could use this to their advantage. Throw it right back in his face. I think Chris Cruz has too much free time on his hands. That's what I think. Daznok, thank you for the $2. Says it's 8 p.m. in the UK. Prime time. Keep up the good work. Garrus Vicarian. Money in the Bank. Bank harder. Yeah, this is the Die Hard edition. This is Money in the Bank Die Hard edition that we're getting on Sunday. Or, you know, Money in the Bank. What was it? What was it? Money in the Bank with a Vengeance, right? That could be the next one. We can forget all the ones that came after that. WA2K99, happy Bartolo Day from the five-tool player. I was just looking at a clip earlier of Bartolo's big home run. It was one of the greatest moments in baseball history. One of the greatest moments in Mets history. Love Big Bart. All right, let's get into this here. We'll get to more of these messages as we move along here. We will get to that. We just had a comment. Here we go. Spade Racing says Chris Cruz is a news reader for CNN Radio. All right, well, hey, look, he's gainfully employed, but apparently he is still. Would you call him a wrestling fan? I don't know, for doing what he did. Is he a wrestling fan? Is he on some kind of mission? He's a very righteous man. It's like Eddie Mansfield. Remember? He's doing it for the boys. Abraham Lincoln said he freed the slaves, but he said that he forgot to free the pro wrestlers. They're going to put that on Eddie Mansfield's tombstone. What a ridiculous thing to say. Hey, Hangman Charlie, thank you for the $15. Been listening since Night of Champions 2013. That's a long time. That's a long time listening, so thank you for sticking with me. There's another match that I expect to be added to the show. It is the Viking Raiders against the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Team titles. The Viking Raiders got a non-title win over the champions on Monday night. That should earn them, if any of this is to make any sense, that should earn them a championship match. It's a matter of when, not if. Do they want to do it here? Do they want to save it for Monday night? Do they want to save it for some other time? I say no better time than the present time. They just beat the champions. What are you waiting for? You got a pay-per-view on Sunday? Tag team title should be on the line. And if it happens, I expect the Street Profits to get their win back. You know, remember Bianca Belair a few weeks ago on TV told them, hey, you better start taking these Viking guys seriously. And then they went out and they lost. So I think we should see maybe a little bit of a harder edge to them when they meet again. And when they do, I predict that they will retain the championships. We have the New Day defending their SmackDown Tag Team titles in a Fatal 4-Way match against the Forgotten Sons, Lucha House Party, and Miz and Morrison. New Day won the belts back a few weeks ago on SmackDown for the 8th time. They didn't win them at WrestleMania, but on SmackDown they won them back for the 8th time. Forgotten Sons were just called up to the main roster. You know, they may fare better than Sanity did many years ago, but a few years ago. But they literally just debuted on TV. I think you can pump the brakes a little bit on putting the belts on these guys. You don't have to do it so soon. I'm all for pushing new teams. It just feels like this is all happening a little too soon. And obviously the injury to Jimmy Uso does not help. You know, him being down for 6 to 9 months, Jey Uso's probably going to be benched at home. That's usually what they do when one tag team guy goes down, the other one sits at home, collects a paycheck, and doesn't do anything. There was a time when Jey Uso went down a number of years ago with an injury, and I thought at that time it would be a good idea to take Jimmy Uso, turn him heel, and put him and Naomi together, kind of like what they're doing now on NXT with Gargano and Candice. What I think they could do one day with Montez Ford and Bianca Belair, and put them together, turn them both heel. Jimmy Uso seems to be a little more charismatic than his brother. When I see him and I listen to him, I think with Jimmy Uso, a singles push could have worked. With Jey Uso, I'm not so sure. I don't know. It just feels like there's something missing there. Maybe it's a valet. Maybe he can get his wife in. Although, if you ask the Macho Man once told Lance Storm, brother, it's like, I brought my wife into the business once. I ain't got no wife no more. Uh-huh. Gotta take the Macho Man's advice. Might not be such a smart move to bring your wife in to the wrestling business. I think the New Day retain. I don't really see any reason to take the belts off them. They just won them a few weeks ago. Unless they're trying to pad their resume and get them up to 9-10 title reigns, which you know they're going to hit at some point anyway. I don't see the need to switch the belts onto anybody so soon, so I'm going to pick the New Day to retain. There is another wild card here. And that is, what role might the SmackDown hacker play in this match? If you remember, a few weeks ago, there was a video that played where the hacker, whoever they may be, was showing a video. With all the tag teams were out there, he was showing a video, and it had clips of all the different teams on the SmackDown brand, the New Day, Miz and Morrison, I think Mandy and Sonya, almost teasing like, you know, I might have some footage that you might not want me to show, and it could potentially be leading to a fraction, a split, between one of the teams on the SmackDown roster. Now, it could have just been one of those things where they're going to have the hacker showing clips of everybody, not just tag teams, but I remember that video, so I wonder if we might see, another video. We might see an appearance here in some form by the hacker. I know there was a new video that went up. I guess there's a Twitter account officially run by WWE. I think it's called at WWE The Message, or at The Message WWE, something like that. Which, interestingly, that account has been set up since 2010. That account has been there for over, well, about a decade. So they've had that account for a while. But there was a new video that went up. And it showed a whole bunch of different things. It was showing GPS coordinates, which apparently are GPS coordinates when I plugged them in for some place in Florida. It didn't come up as Orlando. It didn't come up as Winter Park. It came up for some other part of Florida. But they were GPS coordinates for the state of Florida, which, of course, is where Money in the Bank is going to be on Sunday, or one of the locations where the pay-per-view is going to be. It also showed the hacker typing a password into his iPhone. And the password combination he punched in was 051020, which just so happens to be the date of the pay-per-view on Sunday. So they really want you to believe that the hacker has another surprise coming, or maybe he's going to reveal himself on Sunday. And maybe it'll be tied into the tag team stuff somehow. So, you know, we'll see. Obviously, he's going to make his presence felt at the pay-per-view in some way. And I look forward to seeing what Mustafa the Hacker has up his sleeve. And I see all these people talking about CM Punk. Oh, it's CM Punk. The hacker said something about, do I have your attention now? Which is something CM Punk once said. He's wearing a hoodie. Even CM Punk went on Twitter and he basically had the facepalm gif of the Muppets. It ain't CM Punk. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back in the middle of a pandemic. If CM Punk was going to come back, I think he'd be a little smarter than to come back now. It ain't CM Punk. I don't know why people whip themselves up into such a frenzy like this. Then when it is revealed to be Mustafa Ali, everybody's going to be all disappointed. Do yourself a favor. It ain't CM Punk. Don't get your hopes up. We have Bayley scheduled to defend her SmackDown Women's Championship against Tamina. Tamina is getting a singles match on pay-per-view and an opportunity to become the SmackDown Women's Champion. Obviously, I am not the biggest Tamina fan in the world. They have not done very much with her anyway. The fact that Tamina is even in a pay-per-view championship match, to me, tells me that they're not really putting a whole lot of effort into this championship match, other than to use it as a way to extend the feud. Well, not feud, I shouldn't say feud, but the story. The story that they're obviously advancing between Bayley and Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks, I'm sure, is going to be there. Sasha Banks has history. She's got history with Tamina. Right? Team Bad. We had that segment on SmackDown last week where Sasha was acting like she was her best friend. Oh, don't you remember? Team Bad. Team Bad. I do find it kind of funny that Tamina was on a team called Team Bad. But to me, this is just a way to further the story between Sasha and Bayley. Maybe there's a miscommunication. I don't think it's anything that's going to cost her the championship. God help us all. We do not need Tamina to be the SmackDown Women's Champion. The only reason they would give it to her, honestly, it could happen. The only reason I would see it is if they were almost rewarding her for all these years of loyal service. She's been in this company for so long. She's been in this company for so many years. Maybe it's just their way of saying, hey, look, we got this storyline that's going on. We want Sasha Banks to accidentally cost Bayley the title. We're going to give it to Tamina. And then Tamina immediately drops it back to Bayley on SmackDown next Friday. It could happen. It could happen. I don't think it will. I don't think it should. I don't think it will. I don't think Tamina should be anywhere near the SmackDown Women's Championship. So I'm picking Bayley to retain. Let's play catch up here on your messages as people are streaming on in. Thank you for joining me, by the way, here midday on a Thursday afternoon. I know some people are bored at work. Usually listen to podcasts and things of that nature. And you have chosen to spend your Thursday afternoon with me. That means the world to me. Mandy, thank you for the $5. Appreciate that. Darius McKenzie with the $1.99. Wanting to know, how do I get into PR? It's an interesting question. Public relations, I know a little bit about that. Easiest thing to do? Intern. It's the best advice I can give you. If you've never done it before, go and intern at a PR firm. Intern at an agency, maybe like a mid-sized one, a big one, get a feel for it. You'll know real quick if this is something you want to do for the rest of your life or not. It's not for everybody. And I wouldn't even necessarily recommend working for a big, big company. Got to get your foot in the door somehow. That's how I did it. The line drive, who is getting Hans Grubert on Sunday? It's a good question. I don't know. Who's going to get Hans Grubert or Big Show? Remember Big Show? He went off the side of Cobo Hall in Detroit. Came back out later that night. Wrestled. I think he became the world champion that night. I don't know who's going to get Hans Grubert. I think for the companies, for the WWE PR team, they better hope that nobody gets Hans Grubert. But the good thing for them is it's already been taped. So I think it's okay. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. Money in the Bank still feels like a Vince Russo idea from 20 years ago. Hopefully it is at least enjoyable. Carlos Herrera, AJ does not fall off the building like Hans Gruber. I want my $9.99 back. Keep up the great work and stay safe. Oh, AJ was already buried alive. Is that going to be the new gimmick for AJ Styles? Every month we find a new way to kill off AJ Styles, and then he just pops back up on television like nothing ever happened? No dirt on him. Not a scratch on him. It's my only quibble with what happened on Monday night. Drew McIntyre defends the WWE Championship. God, this is hot. Defends the WWE Championship against the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. McIntyre and Rollins have, I believe, put out some of the best promo work that they have done. For McIntyre, he has done some of the best work of his career. He seems relaxed. He seems just like this fits him like a glove. He's having, I think, a nice little run for himself so far as the WWE champion. It's too bad he can't play to a crowd of actual human beings. I hope that he's still the champion by the time crowds are allowed back. Imagine going through your whole title run, your very first reign as WWE champion, and you don't get to play to an audience at all. That entire run, you win the title, 6 months later you drop the title. That would suck. So he's been doing tremendous work, and I give Rollins his props too. I'm not always a huge fan of what he's doing, or stupid things that he said before, but you know, he's a talented guy. He comes out in these empty buildings, it's dead silence, he's like this cult leader who walks out. And he's done some really good promo work, so I think the promo work has largely been very strong. To me, though, this should not be anything other than a Drew McIntyre win. That's it. Plain and simple. Period. End of story. Now, if there's some kind of a disqualification or something that leads to a rematch at the next pay-per-view, which I expect, that's fine. But the idea that they would take the championship off of McIntyre a month after he won it is beyond absurd. I mean, it is so far beyond absurd that I can't even comprehend that they would even think of doing such a thing. So the outcome here to me is not really in doubt, other than do they have McIntyre beat him with the Claymore 1-2-3, or do they have Murphy run in, Rollins uses a low blow, gets disqualified, because we know this is not going to be the only match these two have. So, either way, Drew McIntyre walks in as the champion. Drew McIntyre walks out as the champion. There can be no other outcome here. There can be no other outcome to this match. Braun Strowman defends the Universal Championship against Funhouse Bray Wyatt. It's not The Fiend. I hope people understand this. I feel like there may be some casual fans who think, oh, it's going to be The Fiend against Braun Strowman. They've never once said The Fiend. They've never once shown The Fiend on TV in the match graphics or anything like that. This is Funhouse Bray. Funhouse Bray going one-on-one against Braun Strowman. Now, they could have Strowman beat Bray, which then leads to The Fiend resurfacing. He almost like he awakens the beast. He awakens The Fiend. But then we're right back in the situation where, do you beat The Fiend? Right? We've been through this before. We went through this with Seth Rollins. Not long after they debuted the gimmick. You go all the way back to October of last year, that Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Oh boy, you remember that review. Boy, was that a review here on YouTube. It's too bad I wasn't on camera for that one. Do you or do you not then beat The Fiend? I think that would be a bad idea. It was a bad idea in February when they did it in Saudi Arabia, and it would be a bad idea to do it again here in this feud with Braun Strowman. So you can keep him away from the title picture altogether and just avoid that problem. But here, they've gone and put him right back. Right back in the mix. Bray Wyatt should win this feud. He does not have to win this match. If he does, then at least it's easy to justify another match. I don't even honestly, if we're being honest here, I don't even think the outcome of this match matters. I really don't. I really don't think the outcome of this match even matters at all. As far as who wins, who loses, I don't see there being a title change. If they do take the title off Braun and they put it right back on Bray, well, okay. I'd rather it be on him anyway. If you gave me a choice between the two of them. But I almost don't even think the outcome of this match even really matters. You know? Here's my bigger issue with this. This is a clash of styles. I don't think this match is going to be any good. I just don't see these two having great in-ring chemistry together. If they go out there and have a wrestling match, this is going to suck. On paper, this match looks like a mismatch. This looks like a bad match. If you put them out there on pay-per-view for 8, 10, 12 minutes. I mean, go back to TLC back in December. We had Funhouse Bray one-on-one against The Miz. That match sucked. It was a squash like it should have been, but as a match, it sucked. But it accomplished what they set out to do. Right? The Fiend or Bray or whoever, he shouldn't be selling too much of The Miz's offense, but as a match, it went 5 or 6 minutes and it sucked. I don't see this match being any good. So I think the shorter it goes, the better off it'll be. But I just don't, without there being that extra, that cinematic flair, like what we got with the Funhouse match with John Cena at WrestleMania, failing something like that, I just don't see this being a good match. So this is definitely not one of the ones I'm looking forward to here on the show. And that leaves us with the most important matches, which I'm going to get to in 1 second, but I want to play catch up on your predictions, your questions, your messages. Kevin, oh my God, earlier with the $5, says, do you still have the SE Scoops live show audio? I was always the one who called in asking why they weren't pushing Kane. So you were the one. Why are they not pushing Kane? When have they not pushed Kane? Kane was pushed his entire career. Kane's entire career was a 20-year push. But yes, I do have all those shows. I have every single SE Scoops live show that I did with Noah back in 2008, I guess it would have been, 2009. I figure one day if I actually do finally break and open a Patreon, that could be an interesting little reward tier. But I haven't yet decided in what capacity I'm going to release the audio. But I have every show. The Line Drive, thank you for the $5. Should the title get put back on Miz and Morrison to really put over Heavy Machinery? The Dirt Sheet just seems to scream good heat to put them over. You could do that, but I don't know why they took them off Miz and Morrison to begin with. Why not just keep the belts on them, keep them strong, and then eventually have them drop the belts to Heavy Machinery? Why do we have to take this detour to the New Day? Other than what they're doing with Charlotte Flair, which is, let's just feed them titles. So at some point they can say that we've set all the tag team records that there have been to set. We've had the most titles, we've had the longest reign. That's what they're doing with Charlotte. You know they want Charlotte to beat her father's run. 16 world titles, Charlotte's going to break that. She might break it in the next 2 years. I feel like they're doing the same thing with New Day. Dried chicken without flavor with the $5. Said Solomonster, rocking the beanie. Ready for a promo battle or a rap battle? Oh, that would be very bad. You don't want to hear me in a rap battle. I might actually yank this thing off in a second because I'm hot as hell. Jackalope Music with the $5. And then a four spot. So that's $9. Thank you, Jackalope. And the 1200 Films podcast with the $7 Peanut Butter Vader Super Chat. It's all about Tamina. Time to pass the torch to Mrs. Snuka. I think you might be the only person in the world that I've ever heard say those words. You are a trailblazer, my friend. You are one of a kind. So that leaves us with our two Money in the Bank ladder matches, the big main events coming up on Sunday, which will be held simultaneously at the WWE headquarters, Titan Tower, in Stamford, Connecticut. Both starting on the ground floor of the building. The idea is that they work their way up, level by level, floor by floor, until they get to the roof. On the roof, there is, I think it's one ring with both briefcases hanging above. There's at least one ring, maybe two. Both briefcases will be hanging from some kind of a scaffold. And Money in the Bank rules apply. First man to pull down the men's briefcase wins. First woman to pull down the women's briefcase wins. And they can cash in at any time in the next 12 months. I don't know if they have announced that the Money in the Bank winners can cash in on any championship, regardless of brand. I don't believe they've ever announced that. I think it's a mistake, and I'm going to die on this hill that it should have been Sasha Banks going to that Money in the Bank, not Lacey Evans. It should have been Sasha Banks winning Money in the Bank, and they should have played up the idea that her best friend is already the SmackDown Women's Champion. So maybe she won't cash in on Bayley, but her other two potential challengers are people she knows very well. Charlotte Flair, who's the NXT Women's Champion, and Becky Lynch, who is the Raw Women's Champion. Now you can play up some drama there. Who is she going to cash in on? Which title is she going to go after? And then ultimately she cashes in on Bayley. And that's where the split happens between them. Sasha becomes a babyface. I mean, I like heel Sasha, but in this feud it would be Sasha the babyface. Maybe it's SummerSlam or something. Would have been perfect in Boston. I doubt SummerSlam happens in Boston now. It'll probably happen on, who knows? It'll happen in an empty field somewhere. But they didn't do it. They're going in a different direction. I think that was a big mistake. So I believe that if you are on the Raw brand, you can only cash in on Raw talent. And if you are a SmackDown winner, you can only cash in for a SmackDown title. But I don't know that. You know, WWE can fiddle with the rules. They can play with the rules. They can make up the rules as they go along. I don't recall them specifying on television if that's going to be the case or not. I think Byron Saxton on television on Monday night said that the WWE headquarters is 10 stories. I don't know about that. I believe it's 7 stories. Unless you just added 3 floors to the building. It'd be funny if it's like the typical wrestling exaggeration. Like, Andre the Giant was not 520 pounds. Maybe when he was at his absolute physical worst, maybe he let his weight get out of control. But like, WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 2, he wasn't 520 pounds. He wasn't 7 feet 4 inches tall. You may as well have said the guy was 8 feet tall. But they exaggerate. That's what they do in wrestling. They exaggerate attendances, right? WrestleMania every year. Couldn't do it this year. But WrestleMania every year, if they have 60,000 people in the building, oh, we had 75,000 people. If they had a legitimate 75,000, oh, we had 90,000 people. I would fucking die laughing if it turns out that they're having Byron Saxton go on TV and say, no, it's not 7 floors, it's 10 floors. It's a typical wrestling exaggeration. We'll just add floors to the building. I don't put it past them to do something like that. That would be hilarious. But it is Money in the Bank, Die Hard style. Die Hard being one of my favorite movies, so I like the theme. Yes, in the chat, Judgment says, according to Hogan, Andre was 900. Thank you for correcting me. When Hogan body slammed the Giant, he was in fact over 900 pounds. And Hogan tore every muscle in his body, every muscle in his back. How he could stand? Not only did he stand when the match was over, he posed. He tore every muscle in his back, but Hogan, he had enough adrenaline running through those veins, among other substances, where he was posing. Very impressive. Very impressive. The winners get to dictate history. There's some kind of expression like that where the winners get to dictate history, and Hogan's a great example of that. He has his own history as far as how he sees things. So are we going to get another question here? Are we going to get a Vince McMahon cameo at Money in the Bank? My money would be on yes. Right? You know he was there when they were filming this whole thing. It was a whole day of shooting. Apparently they were shooting from the early hours, wee hours of the morning, right up until midnight. It was a long filming day. You know Vince was there. How do you not have one part of the Money in the Bank match where they don't bust into Vince's office and there he is doing God knows what? I don't even know if I want to know what he was doing. But yes, I think there's a very good chance we see Vince McMahon make a cameo of some kind. Maybe even take a bump. So we'll see if he's appearing there at Money in the Bank. But they're going to be brawling everywhere. They're going to be brawling through the lobby. They're going to be brawling into the kitchen. They're going to be brawling into the gym. They're going to probably brawl into Vince's office. They have this big conference room. They were showing us this little video on Monday night of all the different floors and all the different sections of WWE headquarters that they're going to be fighting through. I made this comment the other day. You know, when I was talking about when they first announced the concept of what they were going to do, and then I said it again on the last podcast. There is not a whole lot to get excited about when it comes to WWE television of late. There just isn't. Raw is insufferable. SmackDown is largely an insufferable show, but not quite as bad because it's only 2 hours and not three. I know a lot of people who have just stopped watching. And it's not just the empty buildings. It's just the empty buildings and just what they're seeing on TV. It's not doing it for them. You know, they're setting record low ratings every single week for whatever, you know, various reasons people have that they're tuning out. The shows are a chore to sit through. There isn't a whole lot to get excited about. But I am genuinely excited to see how these Money in the Bank matches play out on Sunday. I think it's a cool concept. I think it's something very unique. It's very different. It's going to be chaos. You got two matches going on simultaneously, side by side at the same time, in an office building. You know, filmed cinematically after what they pulled off with that Boneyard match. The Boneyard match was my favorite match of WrestleMania. So if it's anything like that, I think it could be a lot of fun. Because I see a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to be so terrible. I mean, the rest of the card might be. It's possible the rest of the pay-per-view isn't very good. I mean, when you got Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, and you've got Tamina wrestling for the Women's Championship, yeah, the undercard leaves a lot to be desired. They may add a Baron Corbin match tomorrow night. On SmackDown, they may add a Baron Corbin-Elias rematch if Elias turns out to be the mystery man in the six-man tag team match. But, you know, keep an open mind, because I think it's a very unique concept. This is either going to be a total disaster, or it could end up being a lot of fun. Like that wacky AEW main event we had on TV last night, the big brawl. And then I get to come back here on Sunday night and I get to rip it to shreds if it's no good. Or if it's good, I get to talk about it. So I'm very curious to see. They've had a few weeks now to post-produce and really wrap this thing up. And everything's already been filmed. If there's any herky-jerky stuff, botches or anything like that, they can edit all that stuff out and really make it look as perfect as they can possibly make it look. And maybe somebody will go flying off the top of Titan Tower. We'll see. Maybe a helicopter will land on top of the building and will whisk the winner away. See, that would happen in a Die Hard movie. That would definitely happen. John McClane would absolutely end a Die Hard movie that way. Actually, I think that's how Die Hard 4 ended. Smooches with the $5 earlier on, says he's at work right now doing COVID testing for the city's first responders. Thanks for getting me through this day. Well, you are doing the Lord's work, my friend, and hopefully stay safe. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you, so make sure you're staying safe wherever you may be. Darius Smith, ECFNW. Yeah, you know, this beanie that I'm wearing on my head here came with the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD. It was kind of like packaged with the DVD when I bought it many years ago. And I never wear it. I really don't wear hats. But after that debacle yesterday, people wouldn't shut up about my hair because I haven't had a haircut. I said, you know what? I'm going to put the beanie on. And this thing is hot as balls. Oofman Entertainment says that AJ will have more on-screen deaths than Kenny from South Park. Yeah, he might. Chris Quillman, thank you. I will totally trade you my Undisputed Era beanie for that ECW beanie. Fair trade, right? Yeah, I don't think so, my friend. I don't think so. Diane Williams with the $5 is just taking a bubble bath and watching a Halloween episode of Roseanne and thought of you. Come to find out, you are streaming right now. Hey, the Halloween episode of Roseanne is one of the best episodes of that show. In fact, I had a whole bunch of Halloween episodes. My favorite one is where the neighbor walks in and finds the husband gutted on the kitchen table. Then Roseanne walks in with a butcher knife and asks her, hey, what's going on? It's a good show. Devlin Husband with the $5. Have you taken any more bumps today? Well, that depends what kind of bump you're talking about. Kid Peru. Two thumbs of approval for Beanie Monster and Juan Bermudez with the $2. Sasha winning Money in the Bank makes sense. WWE hates that. Yes, they do. Spade Racing, thank you, also says, Herb died doing what he loved, cocaine and hookers. Yes, that is going to be a very entertaining Dark Side of the Ring review on the podcast coming up this Sunday. I hope that you will all join me for Dark Side of the Ring on Sunday. I see LaToya in the chat, not a fan of Roseanne. We're talking about the TV show. Not the person. That's a whole other story. The TV show, I thought the TV show was good. See, I didn't appreciate it when I was younger. It was one of those shows, you know, like my parents would like watching it. I was more of a Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, Married with Children, Full House, Step by Step. Remember Step by Step? Just the 10 of Us. My God, all these sitcoms are coming back to me now. Punky Brewster. This is what I grew up on. Hey, Tibbs, thank you for the $20. There's the freaky Jeff Hardy Super Chat wishing you well. Well, I'm wishing you well, too, my friend. Thank you very much. You got a Punky Brewster reference here on this Money in the Bank stream. I bet you didn't expect that, huh? Asuka. Oh, my God. I'm looking at the chat. I shouldn't do that. That's my first mistake when I look at the chat. It distracts me. Cuba the Goat says, Jason looks like Aubrey Edwards with no haircut. Well, I hope that's not an insult. Aubrey is a fine person. She can stand to, I think, hone her podcasting skills, but she's a fine referee. Don't want to say anything bad about Aubrey Edwards. Asuka has been great. Let's go down the list of all the participants in this match. Asuka has been great on these empty arena Raw shows. She really has been one of the... I'd say one of the few highlights when she is on TV. Although even she can't save those 3 hours. I mean, those 3 hour shows, it's impossible. Impossible to save those shows. Asuka winning the briefcase would be fine with me, especially since it feels to me like they're phasing out. Right? Doesn't it feel that way? It kind of feels like this is the beginning of them phasing out Kairi Sane. Maybe she really is leaving. Maybe she is going back to Japan. I don't know. We haven't seen too much of her. When we have seen her, she's been squashed by Nia Jax. So if she's on her way out soon, Asuka may need something to do. Asuka should be featured on this show. Asuka should absolutely be featured on this show every week. And so if that means her winning the briefcase will get her more TV time, then I'm all for it. I think it could be actually very entertaining having her go around flaunting the briefcase, screaming random things in Japanese. Then we have Lacey Evans. They're obviously very high on Lacey Evans, right? She's tall, she's blonde. That's really all I need to say, right? It's Vince McMahon's company. She's tall, she's blonde. Therefore, she's going to get a push no matter what. If she was short and blonde, she would get a push no matter what. Blondes tend to do very well in WWE. You go up and down the list. More often than not, blondes tend to do very well in WWE. But they're obviously very high on her. Lacey has, she's improved from, you know, obviously her NXT days. She does a better moonsault than Charlotte. So there are things I like about Lacey Evans. I don't really have like, oh man, I'm so excited to see Lacey Evans. There's so many different directions they can go in with her winning the briefcase. No, I'm not really feeling it. I don't see it. I don't really see the appeal of her winning the briefcase. So, could she be, you know, kind of the wild card with the women? If I had to pick one wild card, meaning somebody who I think has a very good chance of winning, but they're not my pick, she probably would be my wild card in this match. Somebody who isn't my wild card is Carmella. Carmella has already won Money in the Bank once before, technically twice. I mean, technically speaking, it was one briefcase, but she is a two-time Money in the Bank contract winner. I don't see her three-peating. I don't see her winning again. Dana Brooke, you know. Unless Big Dave shows up and Batista bombs one of the women off the top of the ladder and helps Dana climb and retrieve the briefcase, that's about the only way Dana Brooke is winning Money in the Bank. If Batista shows up on the roof of Titan Tower and power bombs Nia Jax from the top of the ladder down to the ring, then yes, Dana Brooke has a shot to win Money in the Bank. Which is basically my way of saying Dana Brooke is not winning Money in the Bank. So that's all I can really say about Dana Brooke. Speaking of which, we have Nia Jax. Nia Jax. So they've been pushing Nia Jax as the big unstoppable monster on TV. And she's supposed to be this big intimidating force. She almost killed Kairi Sane on TV a few weeks ago. They did this stupid thing on television last week where they were teasing a triple threat with Nia, Asuka, Shayna, which went nowhere. And then they just played Nia's music and that was it. Why they even put that match together, what they even think a segment like that accomplishes is beyond my comprehension. That didn't get me any more excited to see them in the ring together. In fact, I'll tell you, I'll go one further, and this is something WWE does a lot of. When they have a big pay-per-view coming up, whether it's Money in the Bank or if it's just, you know, a regular old pay-per-view, if there's like a big match, they will make sure that on television in the weeks leading up, they get as many of those people in the ring together as they possibly can. So we get to see them facing off before we even get to the pay-per-view. And sometimes there are reasons to do that. Maybe it's just like a one-on-one tag match and it kind of makes sense, but they do it so much. And so it would have been kind of special, I think, to see Nia and Shayna, who's been on a tear right now on Monday Night Raw. She's the other unstoppable force they've been, you know, booking on that show. And then Asuka, who's a badass, save it for the pay-per-view. Right? But instead they put them out there. They did the stupid segment. Didn't help anybody. Didn't get anybody over. You know, they shoot themselves in the foot sometimes with these dumb segments. And maybe it's just their way of, I don't know, I just feel like it's part of the formula, right? Well, this is what we do. This is how we promote the pay-per-view. We put them out there, they hit each other with a ladder, we play their music, she makes a mean face, right? She makes a mean face, and then they go to commercial, and it's on to the next segment. And it's like, what does that accomplish, though? Did that get any more people excited for that Women's Money in the Bank match? No. No. So I don't like what they've been doing on television with like the last 2 weeks. They had that other dumb segment on Monday night. It's just stupid nonsense. Nia Jax should not win Money in the Bank. I do not want to see Nia Jax win Money in the Bank. I pray to whatever deity may or may not be up there. Nia Jax should not be winning Money in the Bank. I don't want to see Nia Jax win Money in the Bank. Could she win? Of course she could win. In fact, I would say she's probably the number two favorite, I would think. If she's not the number one favorite, she's probably the number two favorite behind Shayna Baszler. Who's the only one left in this match I haven't talked about yet? Is Shayna Baszler. Hey, Tenchi fan, yeah, I know. You know, YouTube is screwing up again. Some people still aren't getting notifications. You know, there was a video stream I did a few weeks ago that had like 900 people. And normally it would have had like 1,500. And I said, I guarantee you YouTube didn't send out notifications to some people. And then I opened Twitter when I was done streaming. Because I don't look at Twitter while I'm streaming. And I had message after message after message. I didn't get the notification. I didn't know. That's YouTube for you. That's YouTube for you. What do you want? Well, you know, that's why I tell people to check your notifications. Because sometimes YouTube may switch them off or make them less frequent. So make sure the frequency, not just that they're on, but that the frequency is pretty much every time I go live, it'll let you guys know. So I apologize for that. Believe me, if it were up to me, this would have been fixed a long time ago. But Shayna Baszler is my pick to win the Women's Money in the Bank. I believe Shayna Baszler will win the briefcase. Question is, did WWE spoil the outcome of this match on Monday night when they aired a commercial that said Becky Lynch is going to be back on Raw this Monday to confront the winner of the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match? And I had gotten some tweets and messages from people. Oh, I think that they may have let the cat out of the bag. You know, it's going to be a Raw person who wins the Money in the Bank. First of all, we'll see if they have a similar commercial for Bayley. If they have a similar commercial saying Bayley will be on SmackDown next week to confront the Women's Money in the Bank winner, then they didn't spoil anything. But also, it kind of doesn't matter, right? Because they can just mix and match people at this point. Does the brand split even matter with everything that's going on? You've got a lot of people who are home. You might be a little short-staffed when it comes to some of the talent. I don't really know that they spoiled anything. It sounded like it, but I don't know that they did. I look, sometimes in WWE, one hand it seems like doesn't know what the other hand is doing. I would like to think they're not that stupid to let something like that slip. But let's see if they have a similar commercial for Bayley tomorrow night. To me, that will tell the tale. But it may well be a spoiler because I think Shayna Baszler is going to win. And I think Shayna Baszler will ultimately go on to finally wrest the championship away from Becky Lynch. And let me just say this about Becky Lynch. And I'm not looking to offend any of the Becky Lynch fans. I like Becky Lynch. You know, I saw that little cameo appearance on that TV show Billions, which I have to start watching. People tell me it's a good show. First words out of her mouth are an F-bomb. That's always pretty cool in my book. Becky Lynch has a lot of fans. Becky Lynch is probably one of the highest paid stars they have in the entire company. I'd be stunned if any other woman, maybe except Charlotte, but I'd be stunned if any other woman was paid more than she is. Probably sells a lot of merch. There's a lot of little girls right now growing up wanting to be like Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has been missing something for over a year now. And I talked about this when I was on PWR on Monday night, you know, with Damian Nelson and David Hero and the whole team. Is that Becky Lynch, when she got punched in the face by Nia Jax, and we can go back even further than that. You go back to SummerSlam, okay, that year when she lost and then she just absolutely snapped and she went after Charlotte and the entire building exploded. People were so happy to see Becky just beat the shit out of Charlotte and go heel, only she didn't go heel because they wouldn't let her go heel. The people loved her too much. And then she got punched in the face by Nia Jax, which, in retrospect, was the best thing that could have happened to her. Doesn't excuse Nia Jax for punching this woman in the face and breaking her nose, basically caving her face in. But they went to WrestleMania with the whole Becky and Ronda story. They're going back and forth on social media, on Twitter. They're trading barbs. And Becky was on fire on social media with the insults. I mean, she was firing them off, like, whether it was her or she was having help from a social media team, I don't know. I assume it was all her. But that was Becky Lynch at her best. Trash-talking Ronda Rousey, taunting Ronda Rousey. That was the match that everybody wanted to see. When we first got the one-on-one confrontation in the ring with them on Raw, you saw the reaction from the people. The people were going nuts. That was the match that they wanted to see at Survivor Series. Then she got hurt. And then they got cute. And they decided to put Charlotte Flair. Because we have to have Charlotte Flair be part of the very first ever women's main event at WrestleMania. How could Charlotte not be part of the women's main event at WrestleMania? So they added Charlotte to the mix. And then we got the match at WrestleMania, which I thought was, you know, disappointing. I thought. Maybe my expectations were too high. But then she won. She pinned Ronda and she won the championship. And she... It's like Batman finally beating the Joker. Where do you go from there? The Joker is, he's the shit. All due respect to the Riddler and the Penguin and Kingpin and Mr. Tut and Mr. Freeze and Mr. Brody Lee and every other Batman villain that you can think of, there's only one Joker. And so once she beat Ronda and Ronda went away, she didn't have that foil to play off of anymore. And the first person that they feuded her with was Lacey Evans. Right out of NXT. Should have been in NXT a lot longer, but they just whisked her onto the main roster. And then after that, it was, let's put Becky and Seth together because, oh, they're together in real life, so we'll just put them together on TV. And boy, did that blow up in their faces. That was the beginning of the end for Seth Rollins. That and the feud with Baron Corbin. Then he went on social media, started making dumb comments, and it just got to the point where they had to turn the guy heel. It was the best thing that could have happened to him. But it just felt like whatever momentum she carried into WrestleMania slowly just kind of went away after Ronda Rousey left and WrestleMania was over. Now, she had that great match with Sasha Banks at Hell in a Cell. It was a one-and-done thing. That was it. They had the one match, and that was it. And then they did revisit the feud with Asuka, which I did like, because Asuka had a win over her. And it didn't make any sense that Asuka was not going after the championship for the entire year. They did eventually come back to that. That apparently was a Paul Heyman call. That was the right call to make. My point in all of this, Becky Lynch is not as hot as she was. She's not as popular as she was a year ago. She has died down a lot. She has her fans. She's still very popular. The magic is gone. And part of that are the people that they have matched her up with. Becky Lynch should have dropped the championship at WrestleMania to Shayna Baszler. Period. End of story. Full stop. That's it. and they got too cute. Oh, we'll do this fluky roll-up finish. But it's okay, because then Shayna's going to come back and win Money in the Bank. Or will she? I mean, she's my pick. That doesn't mean she's going to win. Then she'll win the championship. Why didn't you just send her out there to win the championship at WrestleMania? Why, because there were no fans? Well, then why have WrestleMania? I don't buy that as an excuse. You do the title change at WrestleMania. Now Becky's been champion for over a year. And whatever magic that there was has long since gone. Her title reign is past its expiration point. They've got to get that championship onto a heel that she can then play off of. That's how you get Becky Lynch, I think, back in this interesting position where she is once again the underdog. Because here's what's happened. Becky Lynch has turned into Charlotte Flair. The Charlotte Flair that she was feuding with, that the Charlotte Flair that she said that summer when she turned, oh, she always gets all these opportunities and everything's about Charlotte Flair. And she has now, like in storyline, she has now turned into what Charlotte Flair was. She has turned into what she hated. She comes out looking like Conor McGregor on television, you know, a couple months ago, whatever it was, acting all heelish. She kind of acts like a heel. So this title reign is past its expiration point, has to come to an end. Shayna Baszler, I think, should be the one to take the title from her. She needs to humble her. I don't mean the way that the Iron Sheik wants to humble people. I mean, some people might enjoy that, but she needs to humble Becky Lynch and bring her back down to earth and say, listen, your shit doesn't stink. You're not the man around here anymore. I'm the man. Me. I'm the man. And take the title and then go on a tear as the champion. You know? Keep up with the ref stoppages. Just make her the most badass woman on the entire Raw brand and make Becky Lynch have to fight for it. So that's what I hope they do. That's how, and again, I don't want to use the word rehab Becky Lynch like she's broken, but there's something missing there. You can't tell me otherwise. That there's been something missing there since WrestleMania last year. Because there has been. It has not been the same. But let me know in the chat. Let me know in the chat if you agree with me. Is Becky Lynch still as over as she was a year ago? Because if she is, I must be missing something here. Because it sure doesn't feel that way to me. Lord Frieza says, are you doing calls today? Yeah, we'll take a few calls at the very end. We'll do that in a little bit. Michael Cuomo, thank you for the $1.99. Will Aleister Black ever get to the main event? Oh, yeah, of course. He'll be in the main event before this year is over. Dried chicken without flavor. Back again, 2 days in a row. Trish Stratus is one of my favorite blondes in terms of WWE history, the tough bumps, and the segments. You know, Trish, hey, there's a reason why Trish is in the Hall of Fame. Trish was not just a beautiful woman. She was very talented. She worked for it. She was dedicated. She turned into a great wrestler. Even that comeback match against Charlotte a couple of SummerSlams ago was quite great. There's Solomonster Hulkamania, brother. Brother Jack Dude. Thank you, Walter Palacios. Vontae Page with the $5 earlier. Longtime listener since 2011. Love my longtime listeners. Hisham. I think it's Hisham. I should know this. Hisham's another longtime fan. Thank you for the $10. And the Indian dude with the $3 drop spoke to the virus last night, asked it to leave us humans alone. It said, when you humans are being such idiots, I cannot help it. Hey, maybe I can get the virus on the show. GMC 1022 with the $20. I completely forgot Money in the Bank was this weekend. I think I'll just stick to watching my primetime wrestling marathon. Keep up the great work. And stay safe. Yeah, you know, they've got new episodes of WWF Superstars on the network. They just added a whole bunch from the very beginning of 1993. So if you are looking for some classic content on the network, I have gone back to watching them in order. So I'm up to July of 1992, only because they started it from 92. I wish they would add the early ones, but I guess there's some kind of issue with the logo. They have to blur the logo out. And the guy who owns the logo doesn't want to sell it to them. This has been going on for like 20 or 30 years now. So if you want to watch those early episodes of Superstars, you just got to go on Daily Motion, go on YouTube. So anyway, thank you to GMC and 24 Advantage and Orlando Dow. Let's just get all caught up here. Thank you guys for the support. I very much appreciate that. Let's go over to the men's side in the Money in the Bank match. We have Daniel Bryan, Baron Corbin, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, Otis, my boy Otis, and replacing the injured Apollo Crews. I feel like I'm missing some. Am I missing somebody? Daniel Bryan, Baron Corbin, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio. Oh, no, that's everybody. And replacing the injured Apollo... I can't even count. Replacing the injured... I think this hat's on too tight. Apollo Crews was hurt in storyline. Replacing him was the winner of the Last Chance Gauntlet on Monday night, AJ Styles. AJ Styles is back on television. He is back from the dead. And he will be in the Money in the Bank match. And I said during my WrestleMania recap, if you go back a month ago, when they first aired a commercial for Money in the Bank, I said, oh, you know, my early Money in the Bank picks. And I mentioned Sasha Banks. And the other name I mentioned was AJ Styles. He was my early pick a month ago to win Money in the Bank. That was assuming he would be in it. Then we found out he wasn't in it. Right? He was buried alive by The Undertaker, never to be seen again. And you look at the year that he has had so far. Going back to the Saudi Arabia show in February, he was in that Tuwei trophy, or Tuwake, however you pronounce it, trophy gauntlet. Undertaker came out, screwed him out of the gauntlet. Undertaker screwed him out of a win over Aleister Black at the next pay-per-view. He gets buried alive by The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He had the best match on WrestleMania, but he got buried. Not a very successful year so far for AJ Styles. And then even worse, his friends get fired. So now his little faction is no more. There's no more OC. The OC is OUT. And we're left with AJ Styles, who showed up on Monday night, which I'll get to exactly how this played out here in a second. But again, he was not part of any of the qualifying matches. It's kind of hard to qualify when you're dead. But they had the big gauntlet on Monday night. And actually, you know, I'll get to the gauntlet in a little bit. Let me go participant by participant, like I did for the women. So we have Daniel Bryan, former Money in the Bank winner himself back in, what was it, 2011, I think? I think it was 2011 when he won the briefcase. So he's already won it before. He has not been used in a main event capacity in a while. He's been, you know, down on the card, working with Drew Gulak and working with Sami Zayn, trying to give Drew Gulak some of the rub, which is cool. I dig that. Drew Gulak is a talented guy. This could be something. This Money in the Bank match could be something that vaults him back into the main event picture, that vaults him back into the championship picture. So, you know, could he win? If I had to put a percentage on Daniel Bryan winning Money in the Bank, I honestly don't see it being higher than maybe 30%. I don't think Daniel Bryan is winning another Money in the Bank briefcase. Then we have Baron Von Boring, representing the SmackDown brand. He's back in Money in the Bank. Also a former Money in the Bank loser. Winner, but he's a loser. If you remember that cash-in, he's a loser. That didn't exactly work out well for him. Now, he is going to be part of the six-man tag on SmackDown tomorrow night. It's Bryan, Gulak, and a mystery man against Corbin, I think Cesaro, and Shinsuke Nakamura. My guess on the mystery partner is that it's going to be Elias. Maybe that leads... Actually, you know what? I said earlier that we may get an Elias Corbin match, and I forgot that Corbin's in Money in the... I forgot that he's in Money in the Bank. I try to forget as much about Baron Corbin as I can, you know? I just try to put him out of my mind as much as possible. I have less than zero interest in seeing Baron Corbin win Money in the Bank again. I would rather Judas affect myself right in the jaw again than see Baron Corbin win Money in the Bank. Baron Corbin is not winning Money in the Bank. Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio has given almost 20 years of service to WWE. He has never won. I don't believe he's won a Money in the Bank briefcase before. Did he? I don't believe he has. Maybe he did. Now, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Kane. Kane winning the Money in the Bank and then cashing in immediately on Rey Mysterio. I think that's what I'm thinking of. So you'll correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. I don't remember Rey Mysterio ever winning Money in the Bank before. Rey Mysterio does not need a briefcase to challenge for a championship. He doesn't need it. Why does Rey Mysterio have to win Money in the Bank? he had his storyline run last year with Brock Lesnar, where it was almost like this redemption story that they were telling. He was going to retire. His son said, "Papi, no. No, you can't retire." And then we ended up with Rey Mysterio and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, and his son got involved. What was his son's name? Oh, my God. What was Rey Mysterio's son named? Dominic was his name. And they had that great match at Survivor Series. But that was the story they told. We don't need another redemption story with Rey Mysterio. We've already gotten one. He doesn't need to be challenging for the World Championship. There's no purpose there. Aleister Black. Aleister Black has got to be the favorite for a lot of people. If there were betting odds on this, and I think there are, I don't like looking at them because usually the odds change like a day or two before the pay-per-view because the people in the company are putting their bets down. And usually, more often than not, the odds makers are right on the money. I certainly would not put money on wrestling. I think that's crazy. But if I was putting money down, and Aleister Black would have to be considered the favorite, I think, in the men's Money in the Bank match, by far. By far, he would have to be considered the favorite. And they've done a largely a good job of protecting him. Here's my issue. Aleister Black does not need Money in the Bank. Just picture in your head for a moment. Aleister Black, this big demonic character, carrying around the red Money in the Bank lunchbox. Doesn't fit, right? It just doesn't seem right. The idea that he would cash in on somebody when they are vulnerable after a championship match doesn't fit. Doesn't fit his character, doesn't fit his gimmick. Fight me, head on. It doesn't work. If he's a heel, it does. As a babyface, it does not work. He doesn't need the briefcase. Doesn't need it. So I would not have Aleister Black winning Money in the Bank. You know, him being in the match is fine. Him being in a pay-per-view main event match is fine. He's not going to get pinned. There are no pins. He's not going to tap out. There are no submissions. You could have somebody lock him in a closet. He's used to it. He sat in a closet for 6 months on television before he started fighting people. After the run with Ricochet. Let us not forget about that tag team run. If he does win. There's always a chance he could win. He is the favorite. If he does win, he's got to have an RVD cash in. You can't do this, I'm going to sneak up on you nonsense. You got to just come out and say, let's say to Drew McIntyre in a few months, I'm calling you out. I'm calling my shot right now. You and me in the main event of SummerSlam. I'm giving you fair warning and advance notice. That's how Aleister Black would handle a Money in the Bank cash-in. But I still don't think he needs it. I still don't think he needs it. And I think it's not how it should go down. I don't believe that's the way it should go down. Then we have Otis. First, he got the girl. Now he might get the briefcase. And if so, how would that make Tucker feel? You know, Otis is part of a tag team. His tag team partner wins Money in the Bank, has a world title shot in his back pocket. How would that make Tucker feel? You know, might we see Tucker make an appearance? Might we see Tucker stop Otis from winning Money in the Bank? I don't think so, just because they need teams on SmackDown. I think it would be foolish to break up heavy machinery right now. They need as many teams, especially now that the Usos went down. If they had any plan of doing anything like that with these two guys, I would just abandon ship. I think that would be a big mistake. But it's a question I think that's worth asking. Otis, you know, somebody asked me in the Super Chats earlier, do I have a wild card? Shout out to JD from NY, 206 in the chat. What's going on, JD? Love me some JD. Not in that way. Actually, I miss doing House of Glory commentary just like he does. You know, we were doing House of Glory commentary. We were rocking and rolling. We had this great chemistry. We were putting a string of great shows together. And then, boom, the world just came to an end. And now, who knows? Who knows when we're going to get to see wrestling again? It's very depressing. We need more HOG. Master P's HOG. Hopefully sooner than later. But shout out to JD. Somebody asked me in the Super Chats a little bit earlier on, do I have a wild card? You know, who is my wild card pick in this Money in the Bank match? Otis is my wild card. Otis has a shot of winning this match. He does. Otis has a real shot. I do not count out Otis. Do not count him out. You are making a grave mistake if you don't think that Otis has a shot at winning Money in the Bank. And the thing with Otis also is, you know, it would be just enough out of left field that I think it would surprise a lot of people. It would shock a lot of people who wouldn't see it coming. He's still a tag team guy. I don't think too many people are gonna, you know, really expect him to win. So it's just enough out of left field to shock people, but he's so over right now. He's one of the most likable baby faces they have in the entire company. People would love it if they saw Otis on top of that ladder, you know, holding that briefcase up in the air, and out comes Mandy climbing the other side of the ladder. And there's a great shot, like King Kong. And who was the girl that King Kong took to the top of the Empire State Building? Was it Mary Jane or something? The shot of King Kong on top of the building. There's Otis with Mandy holding the briefcase up on the top of Titan Tower. What a great sight that would be. Don't count him out. Don't count him out. I think actually they made a mistake by not having Mandy in the women's Money in the Bank. Not that I would have had both of them win necessarily, but I think you could have had some interplay between them since the matches were happening at the same time. Instead, they had Carmella qualify. Seems like a waste to me. So, before I get to Apollo Crews, let me play some... we have some news here. Marcus Metcalf with the $5 Super Chat chimes in with some ratings news. I assume these are the legitimate numbers. I have not had a chance to look them up yet. AEW, 732,000 viewers. NXT, 663,000 viewers. That is a bad number for NXT, and for this reason. NXT loaded that show up this week like it was a takeover. There was a lot that they promoted about that NXT show coming in, and they lost, what were the number here? That's a big margin. That's a big margin of difference. I mean, both of those numbers are terrible for both shows. AEW should have done a lot better than 732,000. So with everything going on and these empty buildings and everything, AEW does a great job with the empty buildings, but these numbers are not good compared to what they were previously. The question is, and you can say the same thing about Monday Night Raw, what are the DVR numbers? We don't know. We don't know. I know in the past, apparently, I don't know if Meltzer or who it was, mentioned that the DVR numbers usually will boost AEW and NXT over a million. So when AEW is doing 800,000 or 900,000 viewers every single week, when you add in the DVR numbers, apparently they were legitimately doing 1.2 million, 1.3 million. NXT would go up a little bit. These are just the overnights. These are the live overnights. Same thing with Monday Night Raw. Raw set a record low this week, 1.6 million viewers. What was the total number of DVR viewers? We don't know, but I know one thing. The numbers are going down, and I doubt that everybody who stopped watching Raw Live is suddenly just going to watch on DVR. So anyway, there's your ratings update for those of you who still care about ratings. Honestly, with everything going on, I would almost just kind of put the ratings on the side. You don't hear me talking about them on the podcast very often now because it's just, I mean, how do you even grade them at this point? You know, it's so weird with everything going on. But that's a disappointing number for NXT. They threw everything they had at that show, and they still lost. And they lost by a sizable margin. That ain't good. Let's play some catch-up here on some of the other Super Chats here before we wrap up the rest of my men's Money in the Bank prediction. Man, you guys have been killing it here on this stream. This is crazy. The Line Drive, thank you for the $10. Line Drive has been very active here during this stream. Talking about Becky and Shayna. I'll save that for after. Why don't we, let's finish this first. Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews qualified for Money in the Bank. And then they worked a storyline where Apollo Crews got injured. Hurt his knee in that match on television with Andrade. And he was knocked out of the Money in the Bank match. Reportedly, now this is according to the website wrestling-news.co. Which I believe has broken a few stories before, I believe, but still, take it with a grain of salt. According to that website, the plan is to turn Apollo Crews heel. And that is why they did what they did. It is the beginning of a story where Apollo Crews is going to be turned into a heel. There was already a plan in place when he was on SmackDown. He was going to turn on Chad Gable and go heel on SmackDown. Then the word came down that he was being drafted over to Monday Night Raw, and he got a little mini push for himself, but apparently he may be going heel. That's what this website claims. Now, I hear that, and it reminds me so much of Ricky Steamboat. And Apollo Crews is very athletic, just like Steamboat was, but it's probably the only time you'll hear me compare Apollo Crews and Ricky Steamboat. And I compare them for this reason. Steamboat is one of the rare cases of a star who never turned heel during his career. Unless he was a heel for, you know, a very short period of time early in his career, I don't believe Ricky Steamboat was ever a heel. And it got to a point when he came back for his second WWF run in 1991, I believe it was. Or maybe that was technically his third. He wanted to go heel. He wanted to know what it was like. Everybody else was either a heel or they had turned from babyface to heel. He wanted to know what it was like. They weren't even calling him Ricky Steamboat anymore. He was like a cartoon character. They called him the Dragon. He came out, he spit fire. Every now and then, the announcer who didn't know any better might let the Steamboat name slip through. He was the Dragon. That was his gimmick. He wanted to go heel. And he went to Pat Patterson. He pitched the whole idea. He said, look, he had this whole idea. There's going to be this guy. He's going to be this. I'm going to be under a mask and a full bodysuit. And I'm going to be doing these dastardly things on TV and winning my matches by cheating and stuff. And then one day, the babyface, maybe who he's going to feud with, will unmask him. And it'll be this huge, shocking moment. Oh my God, it's Ricky Steamboat under the mask. I can't believe it. And it'll be this big moment. It generates all this buzz. And the classic story, and Steamboat's told the story over the years, is Pat Patterson just kind of laughed at him, and he looked at him, and he goes, Ricky, you're not a heel. You'll ruin your career. You're a babyface. You're a nice guy. Nobody will ever believe you as being a heel. And that was it. Ricky Steamboat never turned heel his entire career, because some guys, it's very hard to buy into them as being a heel. Apollo Crews is one of those guys. Apollo Crews fits the same description. I have a very difficult time envisioning Apollo Crews, that big cheesy smile when he comes out. I have a very difficult time picturing him as being a heel. Doesn't mean he can't pull it off, but I don't see it. It's hard for me to picture him in that way. I don't know if he's ever played heel before. You know, maybe when he was in Dragon Gate or something, you know, when he was UHA Nation, maybe early in his career. I'm not aware of him ever being a heel, though. You know, once he really got going and became a star, I think he's been a babyface the whole time. So I don't know that it would work. But if they want to try it, or if they, you know, if he wants to give it a shot, if he's insisting, okay, turn me heel, let's give this a shot, then who knows? Maybe he surprises a lot of people. You know, they've got MVP back on TV now, and he's, I don't know if he's a manager or just a mouthpiece for Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink of, is it Vink or Vink? I think it's Vink of NXT. Maybe they get a little faction going with MVP. He can lead his whole stable of 3, 4, 5 guys, and maybe Apollo Crews can be his crown jewel as a heel. He's never been known to be strong on promos. That's why I mentioned MVP. MVP can talk, and MVP could do the talking for him. Maybe then he'll have a shot. Maybe then that could work. Then again, I thought that about Zelina Vega's faction when they put them together. Austin Theory, Angel Garza, Andrade. Oh, great. Zelina Vega's got her own faction. Then they lose every single week on TV. Every fucking week I turn around, Zelina Vega's guys are losing. It's like they're just like the modern-day job squad, these guys. I mean, Andrade's the U.S. champion. But every time I turn around, it feels like these guys are losing. They got beat by Humberto in the gauntlet, which is kind of funny because I just mentioned Humberto on my podcast the other week. I said, where's Humberto? We haven't seen him on TV. He was getting the big push. We saw him every week, and then people told me, oh, he's been on Main Event. I don't fucking watch Main Event. Do you think I watch Main Event? I got 3 hours of Raw. I got 2 hours of SmackDown. I got 2 hours of NXT. I got 2 hours of AEW. I usually watch NWA Power. We don't have that now. You really think I'm going to sit around watching Humberto on Main Event? What are you eating, paint chips? Humberto's been on Main Event. Okay, good for him. But he disappeared from my television screen. For weeks and weeks, I was like, where's Humberto? And then, boom, there he is again on television on Monday night. And there's Humberto beating Austin Theory and beating Angel Garza. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? single-handedly beaten these guys. Angel Garza, I would not have minded if Angel Garza went on to win that gauntlet, I'm just saying. They needed a heel. Angel Garza could have been that heel. But anyway, as far as the whole, you know, the whole Apollo Crews thing is concerned, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it. But I've spent a lot of time talking about Apollo Crews, a guy who's not even in the Money in the Bank match. He was. And then he wasn't. So we had this last chance gauntlet on Monday night. A 40-minute gauntlet match on Monday that bored me to tears. WWE is kind of hit or miss with these gauntlets. They've had a lot of really good gauntlet matches. This wasn't one of them. This was not one of the better gauntlet matches that they have given us on television. And we had Bobby Lashley. He was running through Titus O'Neil, Akira Tozawa, Shelton Benjamin before outcome. Now, remember, he was disqualified on Monday for kicking too much ass, which is always such a great finish. Humberto came out, got a win over Zelina Vega's boys. I've already gone through that. But that led to the return of AJ Styles, and all of a sudden, my early prediction had life. I thought, this is perfect, unless Jinder Mahal comes out and fucks the whole thing up, which thankfully he didn't do. And AJ Styles won the gauntlet. AJ Styles is going to be in the Money in the Bank match, and AJ Styles is my pick to win the men's Money in the Bank. I'm sticking with my early prediction. I am sticking with my early prediction. I know Aleister Black maybe is the favorite, but I'm sticking with AJ Styles. You know, after the year that he's had so far, I think it's time to kind of get him back up into that mix. And him carrying around the Money in the Bank briefcase, acting all smug and cocky and arrogant, I think he'd be a good opponent for Drew McIntyre also. I feel like he would be a good opponent for Drew when this stuff with Seth runs its course. The thing I mentioned earlier about being disappointed by when I saw AJ on television on Monday night, he just came out like AJ Styles of old. There was nothing different about him at all. You know, he just went through a Boneyard match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania and showed up without a scratch on. I mean, if it were me, I would have had it where it looked like he had just crawling out of the grave. Like, literally crawled out of the grave, and it's taken the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks for him to walk all the way from wherever they filmed it all the way to Orlando. And he's got dirt on his clothes, his hair's all scraggly. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say a word. He just goes in there and beats the shit out of Humberto and goes to Money in the Bank. That's what I would have done with AJ. That at least makes things a little bit interesting. This, to me, it just, I don't know. To me, it lacked any real creativity, which I know is not always WWE's strong suit, but AJ Styles is my pick. So AJ and Shayna Baszler, they are my Money in the Bank match predictions, my picks for Sunday. I am going to be back here with you live after Money in the Bank is over, so please come on back here. We're not done yet, but when the pay-per-view is over on Sunday, I'll be back here for a full recap, and hopefully you'll join me as well. Also, we're doing something very special. During the stream, on Sunday night, if you've heard of Wrestle Rumble before, you see those two belts on your screen? They look an awful lot like the designs for the old WWF Tag Team Championships. I would argue the greatest design for a tag team title that WWE ever had. I don't believe these are actually the WWE tag team titles with the logo and everything, but there is a classic tag team championship raffle. Wrestle Rumble is giving away those two tag team title belts, and I have been bestowed the honor of hosting the drawing, the random drawing, during my Money in the Bank live stream on Sunday night. So if you would like to participate, the information is right there on your screen. You win the belts with the wall hangers and the stands that go with it. It's only $10 for a single entry. If you've never participated in one of these contests before, you'll find the rules on WrestleRumble.com. And again, the winner will be drawn live at random on Sunday. So there you go. May the best man win. Of course, I can't participate because that would be very wrong. That would just be wrong. So I won't be able to actually try for the belts myself, but hopefully you will join in the fun. Sean Planet Stasiak wanted to know my thoughts on Liv Morgan, future champion. Well, I mean, everybody on the show is pretty much a future champion, right? Everybody on the show is a future champion. So yeah, Liv Morgan will be a champion at some point. I don't know if it'll be on Raw, but I'm pretty sure she'll be a champion at some point. Casey is Raw. Thank you for the $2, my friend. Says, love your belts. I got the White IC and the World Belt. Oh, the White IC, man. That's another beautiful belt. I am a belt mark. I love some of those classic wrestling belt designs. And I always said when they started making them that I would get one. So if you look, let me just come back here for a second. If you look behind me, the Big Gold was the very first belt I ever bought when I was in college. That's how far back that goes. Okay, we're going back a ways. So when they first started making the real replicas, not the foam ones, that was the first one. It's got the Scratch WWF logo on it and everything. So that's how far back that goes. And the Winged Eagle is my all-time favorite. That was a gift. That was a gift from a listener a few years ago on my birthday, if you can believe it. So then I took it. I said, well, if I have it now, we got to go all the way with it. So I took it. I had it re-leathered. Why not? Why not? So I proudly display them. I don't wear them to wrestling events. Okay? That's just weird to me. Hang them on the wall. Put them in a display. You want to lock your door and roll around naked with them? Hey, go for it. But I never understood. I mean, these things are heavy. These things are heavy as shit. I couldn't imagine carrying these around with me at a wrestling show. I just can't. I don't understand it. It's not for me. I don't understand why people do that. But hey, whatever makes you happy, right? To each their own. I'm not gonna criticize, but they stay right where they are, right there on display. S. Chappa, thank you for the $20. Said, I've been waiting forever to catch you live. You are the only way I can stomach wrestling in general. Fan since 2012. Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you. Marcus, thank you for the ratings update a little bit earlier. Crash with the $2. Do you think an Aleister Black heel run would be good? Yeah, I think he can make it work. He's already got the dark character, so I don't think it would be too much of a stretch. I think that could work. Sean D with the $2. David Mace, just subscribe. Thank you for hitting that sub button. Please go ahead if you have not already done so. Joseph Marr with the $2.99. You say Steamboat, I say Tito. Yeah, Tito Santana. He was also, I think, a babyface his entire career. Arriba! Right? That's what he used to do. Arriba! I don't know. JB, thank you for the $4.99. It'll be the usual month-long semi-push and then back to jobber status. For who? Apollo Crews? Probably. And Andrew, thank you for the $1.42. I appreciate that. My friend says AJ sacrificed the souls of the OC to heal himself. Well, that certainly is one storyline way of explaining that. Sacrifice the soul of his best friends to heal himself. That's some comic book shit right there. That is some comic book stuff right there. So here's what we're going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to probably rip this off my head in a second. I want you guys to chime in on Money in the Bank. So let's try to keep it, if we can. If we can. To Money in the Bank. And hear your thoughts on what you think may or may not happen on the pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. We will take a few calls here if we have any. I think I might have accidentally... Oh, there we go. I thought it was off, and then boom, all these numbers popped up. So we'll take a few calls here before we wrap up here on this Thursday afternoon. You don't got anything better to do, right? It ain't dinner time yet. I'm getting hungry, though. You know what I'm having tonight? I don't know. Probably a tuna sandwich. That's what I'm having. Let's go to 3-2-1. 1-2-3. 3-2-1. Remember that thing? Was it 10-10-3-2-1? We used to do those commercials during Raw and Nitro, right? They had 10-10, 3-2-1. What was the other one? It was 9-9-2-1-0 or 90210 or something. I don't know. 3-2-1, save me.
Yo, what's going on, Solomon? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about either. I think my brain is slowly rotting away.
Yeah, man. I was going to say, this is Wayne from Orlando. I just want to give, like, a bold prediction about Money in the Bank.
A bold prediction. Go for it. I want to hear this bold prediction.
While I do agree with you on AJ Styles, I do think we're going to get a modified version of repeat of last year and get Brock Lesnar or Edge to somehow snivel their way into the match and win the match.
Edge, I could see. Brock Lesnar would be a terrible idea because it's already been done. Edge, I could see Edge. Edge is already being promoted for Raw next Monday, but they're promoting something with him and Randy Orton. It's like the never-ending feud with him and Randy Orton. So Edge, of the two, it would be Edge, but I don't think it's going to be either one of them.
Yeah.
Anything else? You seem stunned by my prediction.
I mean, no. It's just one of those things. I know, like, it's just a swerve and a shocker. And, like, what you mentioned, they did, like, 2 weeks of filming, so anything can happen. They could, like, squeeze anybody in there.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah.
Of course. And there's no live audience. So there's no spoilers leaking out or anything. I mean, they could have had anybody there for all we know. You know, maybe 2 weeks ago, that's around the time Cain Velasquez was supposedly released. Maybe they threw him off the top of Titan Tower. Who knows? We don't know.
Oh, yeah, and also, my question is, what's up with Kevin Owens? Because it's like, I saw him on WrestleMania. I haven't been watching Raw lately, but just because I've been busy with other stuff. But, like, didn't he get a win over Seth Rollins at WrestleMania?
He
so
did.
What's up with him?
Yeah, no, he did. And I talked about this on the podcast. So he gave an interview and basically said that he wanted time off to be with his family with everything going on. So it was his choice to not be on TV after WrestleMania, but also he hurt his ankle. I don't think it's a serious injury, but I guess on the dive on the WrestleMania sign or off the WrestleMania sign, he either fractured like a slight fracture or sprained his ankle, so he's hurt. So that would explain why we didn't see him being part of this story. I figure maybe Owens would show up. It would be a triple threat, Owens and Rollins and McIntyre. But Owens just wanted to spend more time at home with his family. Owens is like the consummate family man. You follow him on Twitter. You know, it's just a very wholesome Twitter. The complete opposite of what you would expect out of Kevin Owens if you think back to, you know, the Kevin Owens of old. Like Kevin Owens in the Ring of Honor days. Kevin Owens when he first came to NXT. His first night he turned on his best friend. So, anyway, that would explain why he is not challenging for the championship. Let's go to 956.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, cool. All right, man. So, by the way, hello. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. Hope you're all safe. So, I got a bold prediction to scare the shit out of everybody in the comment section. So, we all know WWE loves Nia Jax for some reason. So, here's a scary prediction. What if she decides not to go for the women's briefcase and decides to swerve everybody and just takes the men's?
She can do whatever she wants, but she's not going to win. I mean, the men's briefcase is for the men and the women's briefcase is for the women. She could take whatever she wants to. That doesn't look. I can jump the barricade at a WWE show and take the championship. That doesn't make me the fucking champion. So yeah, she could do whatever she wants.
No, of course. I'm just saying that, you know, WWE loves their weird swerves every once in a while, and I know that they were trying to do something with Nia Jax and the men, 2 years ago? Damn, 2 years ago. So I was thinking maybe they just decide to just swerve everybody and just get her on that somehow, some way. Because I know, again, like I said, they just love Nia Jax now for some reason.
Well, because they can book her as the big monster, because she's physically bigger than the other women they have on Raw. Right, she's probably the biggest one that they have there. So they book her. She throws people around. They put her in the ring with these tiny women so she could bounce them around. And they think that she'll get over as a monster. But the reality is, she just isn't very good. Sorry to say.
Yeah,
she's
is
just not. She's not very good.
I was just saying that because, you know, I just know that WWE loves their weird swerves. So I was just thinking, what if they were to do that? I wouldn't want that. Trust me, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, they could do anything. They could do anything. I looked at the predictions that I made. I don't think that my predictions were kind of too far out of left field, and sometimes they like shocking people. So,
of course.
Hey, let's have Dana Brooke win Money in the Bank. And then I wonder if they I wonder if they have any plan at all. It's like, oh, shit, we just had Dana Brooke win Money in the Bank. Now what? You know what I mean? So to me, you can't just go for shock value. If you have a reason to do it and you can shock people, shit, that's great. But don't just shock people for the sake of shocking people, bro.
No, of course, of course. All right, that's all I had to say, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. And we're going to move along now to... I'm looking for my friend Abbas. He's going to be very upset if he hears that I mentioned his name and he didn't call in. He's all the way over in Iraq. And the lines were so jammed during the Dynamite stream last night. I didn't see him on the list, and I felt bad. And told him I was going live today. I don't know, what time is it over in Iraq? I don't even know what time it is over in Iraq. Maybe he'll call in. But as we wait for him, let us go to the nation's capital. I believe this is D.C., 202?
Yep, Salamanca, this is Garrett.
Oh, it's Garrett. What's going on, Garrett?
Nothing much. It's second month in quarantine, and I just wanted to let you know that I graduated with honors this past week. So I just wanted to let you know that throughout these college years, I listened to your podcast and procrastinated a lot, but I appreciate listening to your sound out for all these years.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been the voice of your, what would be the right way to describe this? I've been the not of your childhood. I mean, you're a college graduate. I've been the voice of your adolescence.
Yeah, that's the best way. Yeah, I know, I can overlook the Mark Zuckerberg haircut you got.
No sold by comment.
Other than that, I was yesterday I kind of forgot there was a Money in the Bank interview after all the stuff that's been going down. My wrestling habits have been nothing more than watching Dark Side of the Ring and AEW. So other than that, I'm excited to see what they're doing with the Money in the Bank. Climb the risk is hot, the risk is worth the reward.
Oh, yeah, the risk is worth the that's right. The risk is worth the reward. The risk is worth the reward. It is climbing the corporate ladder. I'm going to say that 5,000 more times between now and Sunday night, so you better get ready.
I'm sure that's like the new word they like to use after Monday Night Messiah, WWE Fast.
Yeah, they love their buzzwords. They you know, it's like Eddie Mansfield with the Abraham. I keep going back to that Abraham Lincoln line. Some people, they have their go-to line, and they will beat that thing into the ground until it's dead. And that's what they're doing with this pay-per-view and the whole risk your life, whatever the fuck it is. Anyway. That's what they're doing, risking their life.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, day and age, I'm sure they're just trying to find some new keywords and attract viewers, even though that, you know, the rating's been going down as of late. Again, it's not their fault. But I'm more or less interested to see what they're doing. I hope they get some, like, you know, diehard Easter eggs in there, like someone goes in the elevator shaft or something, but I doubt that they're gonna go that risky with some of these camera shots of theirs. But other than that, you know, I'm more or less known as guy. I like to see him win the Money in the Bank. I know he's not gonna win, but you know, I love the storyline that he did with him, and hopefully he wins it. You know, I like the idea of Edge winning it if he comes in unsurprisingly, but would be a dick to everyone else who's already qualified. And much as the women, I'm like you, I thought Sasha should have been in it, but I'm like, what a waste. It's like, unless they're doing a surprise where she shows up, or it's just going to be a complete waste of time for this.
Well, she's not going to show up. She's going to be, well, I mean, I guess they filmed it already, so she could have been there. But, you know, she's going to be involved with the Bayley stuff, and I wouldn't expect her to be there, but she's not officially in the match, so I don't think it matters either way. Why would she be there?
You know, probably taking pictures with Vince and... you know, do some other stuff, I guess. But
Hold on a second. So, you're implying that Sasha Banks would just randomly be at WWE headquarters hanging out with Vince McMahon doing other things. What are you implying here?
Well, you know, they shoot some of the, like, promo stuff over there, like Renee Young.
Oh, is that what they're calling it now? Promos. Promo class. I see. Is that the code name for it now? Class? I see.
Much like AJ, I just dig my...
Man, it's been forever since I've been to promo class, but go ahead.
But other than that, I'm psyched to see it. You know, I'm probably going to order pizza for the first time to watch this show. Hopefully it'd be worth it. Hopefully, you know, Sasha's not is strictly doing promo classes in there, and, you know, hopefully she's actually in the match whatsoever, but...
I think when quarantine is over, people are going to get very good at their promos. I just have this feeling that everybody is going to get really good at doing promos when this quarantine period is over.
Yeah, I think everyone just gets very lonely at these times of days. But
Yes. Okay, anyway, yeah. Garrett, let me wrap this up. Is there anything else before I let you go? I want to take a few more calls here before we end.
Just once again, stay safe, and you know, if things get dire, just make sure you got a brother to help get that haircut in, or you can grow it out and get that Vince Russo slick back if you want to.
Oh my God, you had to go down that road, huh? Yeah. I might do that, you know. I mean, if it gets long enough, you could slick it back. I wouldn't describe it as Vince Russo. I don't have the Russo goatee. I don't have the Russo accent, bro. I can't pull the look off. I don't want to go down that road. All right, let's go to, as the song says, Jackson, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Solid Monster? I'm so glad to finally call into the show.
Is this your first time?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Who am I talking to?
You are talking to Ray.
Ray. So you are, in fact, in Jackson, Mississippi. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Awesome. That's what is the situation down there right now in Mississippi? Because here in New York, it's horrendous. But how is it in Mississippi? Is it bad? Is it not so bad?
I'd say it's about fair, you know. We're making it down here.
Okay, so if I were to look into some real estate down there in Jackson, Mississippi, you think that would be the smart way to go?
Sure. A lot of people come down here from up north.
Yeah, no, I've heard that there are a lot of people. I mean, obviously a lot of people from New York end up in Florida. I mean, Florida is like a second New York at this point with all the people who move down there. You got to think I'm crazy. I know I'm going off topic a little bit here, but Eric Bischoff posted a photo a few days ago on his Twitter account. He was going on some like 5-mile mountain hike or whatever. And he posted this beautiful photo of, like, you can see the mountain in the background. And I was looking at it and I said to myself, maybe I should consider moving to Wyoming. Wyoming seems like a beautiful state. And I started looking into it. I started looking up like what it would be like to move to Wyoming, and you know, you could buy property there. It's going to be a lot cheaper than it would be in New York, and get all this wide open land, and you can go hiking, and you could be a cowboy, because apparently everything, you got to wear cowboy boots and like the jeans, like that's how they dress in the state of Wyoming, I guess. And they have rodeos and stuff. And I said, you know, I think I could be a cowboy. I think that could work. And then I heard that the winters in Wyoming are probably some of the worst in the country. And if you're living in the middle of nowhere and the power goes out, you're in the middle of a blizzard, and you got 20 feet of snow, you're pretty much screwed. And then I got over my desire to move to Wyoming. So that's why I asked you about Jackson. Maybe Jackson could be my backup.
Yeah, that'll be a good plan. But I think Mandy Rose should have been in Money in the Bank, because we could have finally put the title on her. I don't know what's taking them so long to win for her to win the championship.
Mandy?
Yes, Mandy Rose.
Yeah, I'm a big Mandy fan. I think Mandy, we haven't really even had the chance yet, I don't think, to see what she can do in the ring. She's not bad in the ring. Character-wise, I've really enjoyed, obviously, what they've been doing with her and Otis. I think she'll have her time. Just right now, it's not her time. You know, she's got the feud with Sonya. I think Sonya's another one. Sonya Deville has been great. Sonya Deville has been one of the shining beacons of light on that SmackDown show. I might even give her a nod at the championship before I do with Mandy. I think Sonya's great.
Yeah. Well, then I would choose Aleister Black, because that's the only person that I think is worthy of winning Money in the Bank.
All right, well, that's fair. I don't think it fits the character, but you may be right. He's probably the favorite to win.
All right, see you later, Solid Monster.
Okay, okie dokie. Thank you for calling in. That was from Ray in Jackson. I like that. He made his point. He was out of there. That's it. I like it. I like those kinds of calls. You get in, you get out. Hit and run. That's the way it should be. Oh, let's see. Let's take a couple more. How are we doing in the chat? Yeah, we're still doing pretty good. We didn't have that big of a drop-off, actually. Actually, let me just run through a few more of these Super Chats before I forget. I certainly don't want to forget to mention people. And we have a whole bunch of them here who are chiming in about Money in the Bank. Michael Santanello is one of them, $10 drop. Heel AJ against Drew or face AJ? against The Fiend. Heel AJ against Drew. I would say heel AJ against Drew. Bobbert Castaneda. I have to assume that's Robert. Bobbert. I've never heard that name before, but it's telling me Bobbert, so I'm going to say Robert. Thank you with the $50, though, man. Wow, it sucks if I got your name wrong. You dropped 50 bucks, Bobbert, but thank you. That's awesome. Says he said, keep up the good work from possibly the only Apollo Crews fan in the chat. Is it that bad in the chat? People really just not like Apollo Crews? I don't get the hate. Luis, oh my goodness, Luis. Luis Alejandro. I say Mayor Eric Garcetti wins Money in the Bank. Well, you would. You could. Hey, I don't know what to say anymore. Luis, you blow my mind every time you send me a message. Leon Ichiban with the $5. Buy or sell Quebecers or the Rougeaus. Rougeaus were very talented, very underrated tag team. Fabulous Rougeaus. I'm going to go on them. And Food Hive. Don't watch WWE, but saw you live. Had to come in and we'll listen while I am cooking later. Well, thank you, Food Hive. Well, it makes sense that Food Hive would be cooking. That does make sense. Let's see. CC Titans fan with the $7 Peanut Butter Vader Super Chat and James Gasman. I believe it's Gasman. Will you ever do Quizzle Mania? I don't know what that is. Walking Tall with the $2. Herb Abrams. Herb Abrams was Money in the Bank. Herb Abrams was, he was something else. Herb Abrams was definitely something else. I'm trying to see who we should end with here. Let's go to, we have a restricted caller here. Interesting. You are on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Jason? That's me.
I'm Abbas from Iraq.
Oh, it's Abbas. I was just talking about you. I was looking for the 964, and then I saw restricted. I said, I wonder if that's him, but maybe not. That's awesome. Now, let me ask you, what time is it where you are right now?
It's almost midnight right now.
Oh, okay, so it's not too late. That's not too bad. Well, I'm glad I finally got you on. I've missed you. I know I've missed you the last couple of streams, and I felt bad about it. So I'm glad you finally made it on.
When you do the AEW shows, it's almost 6 or 7 a.m.
Oh my god.
So I stay awake all night. Yeah.
So you stay up all night to tune into the stream and try to call in on those AEW. Wow. That's dedication, man. That's something else.
Man, as far as the Money in the Bank goes, I think Baron Corbin and Nia Jax are winning.
Oh.
That's a spoiler. Oh.
You broke my heart. I let you on the show, and you come on to tell me that you think Baron Corbin and Nia Jax are going to win Money in the Bank. You try to put the arrow through my heart.
That's a spoiler.
Well, I hope you're. And I,
man,
all due respect, I hope you're wrong. I've never wished for anybody to be more wrong in my life. I hope those predictions are way off the mark.
I was just joking. I think AJ Styles is winning.
All right. Almost gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, the women's division goes. It's so bad right now. There's nothing going.
On SmackDown or on Raw or on both shows.
On the women's division as a whole, it's Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, I would agree. It's I see where they're going with Sasha and Bayley, but beyond that, there's nothing really exciting going on right now. I agree.
Yeah, unfortunately. Man, I just want to say one last thing. I've been a fan for years now of your show, and I've gone back and listened to all of the previous episodes. And I just want to say thank you. You've been with me all of these 7 years before I started college, and now I'm a civil engineer, and through all the tough times, man, just thank you. Like, you're my hero, so just
thank you for all the
things that you're doing for us. I hope you stay safe, and that's all.
Well, thank you. That really is very nice of you to say that, and I appreciate that, and I hope you'll keep listening, and I hope you'll try calling in again. You got to get some sleep, though. You don't have to stay up until 6 a.m., but as I do more of these, we'll have to get you back on.
All right.
All right. Well, be well. Stay safe. And
stay safe.
You too. Thank you. We will definitely talk again soon. That was very nice of him to say. All the way over from Iraq, we had Abbas call in. He's been trying for the longest time, and we finally got him through. And that was a very nice thing for him to say. I got to do one thing here because this is driving me nuts. I can't take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. Ugh. There we go. Oh my God. Oh my God. Look at that. This is wrong. This is just wrong. This looks like some kind of creature or something has just taken over my, I don't know. It's pretty bad. This right here is what happens when there's no barbers operating here in New York. This is what ends up happening here, so. Oh, that feels so good, though. Oh, I'm so glad I took that off. Oh, we got a few more Super Chats here. King Bling LA, or King Bling BLA, 7 floors. Sources, Emporis, has to be interrupted. I don't know what that means, but I guess he checked it out. It is, in fact, 7 floors of WWE Tower in Stamford. And Casey is raw. Thank you. There it is. On my screen, $5. The only reason why Baron Corbin would win is to be a King of the Ring and a Mr. Money in the Bank at the same time. Well, I don't give a shit if he's Mr. Money in the Bank and a Royal Rumble winner. I don't care about that. Who cares? Is anybody going to be impressed? Like, who cares? You could be right. You could be right, but he corrected himself. King of the Ring. I was going to say, the Long of the Ring. What exactly does it mean? Lord of the Ring? Because that's something completely different. All right, so I think... everybody in the... I want Baron Corbin to win. Russ says, I want Baron Corbin to win just to see JD from New York's reaction. I think he may combust. I think he might actually combust on camera if that were to happen. You'll see like little bits of like gray matter on the camera and stuff like leaking and dripping down. I don't think we need to see that. Again, on Sunday when I go live, as I I hope my computer didn't freeze. Uh-oh. But yes, we're going to do the Royal Rumble, the Wrestle Rumble raffle for the tag team belts that I showed a little while ago. That'll be coming up. During the Money in the Bank stream on Sunday. So at some point during my recap, I will take a break very briefly, and we will pick a winner at random using random.org. It's a very useful website for those of you who have never tried it out before. And somebody's going home with those two pretty championship belts. Look how beautiful. Look how pretty they are. Mr. De Jesus has a $2 super chat coming in here at any moment. Says he just saw Jerry Lawler hit by a car video. Yeah, I talked about that with the Sammy Guevara stuff during the Dynamite show last night. I kind of compared it to the angle they did in Memphis with, I think it was Eddie Gilbert and Jerry Lawler. If you have never seen Jerry Lawler get run down by that car, go on YouTube and find it. It is scary. I mean, he got hit by this car. He bounced off the windshield. You could see why at the time people were calling the cops trying to report these guys because they thought they had just witnessed a murder. So it is very, very crazy when you go back and you see what they did there during that angle. So we've gone 2 hours here, longer than I thought we would. I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in here on this Thursday afternoon, everybody who called in, super chatted. You guys are amazing. We will do this again on Sunday night. I think the camera thing is here to stay. It was just a matter of getting everything set up the way I wanted it to be. I've got these little like a ring light and some other stuff on the way, so yeah, we'll spruce things up a little bit. We got some natural daylight coming in here. Usually I'm like a vampire. I'm recording at night, so this was kind of nice here on a Thursday afternoon to go live. But thank you for all the kind words. Thank you for all the support. I will definitely I got a good show for you on Sunday 6:51. We're gonna talk Dark Side of the Ring and a whole bunch of other things, and then Sunday night again for the Money in the Bank recap. Brian Deal, Diane Williams, Gruss, JD, Colorblind, K1, everybody. K1. Oh, KY. I was thinking KY. Anyway, everybody in the chat, thank you for joining. I'm out of here. This stream is over, and I will see you back for episode 651 on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys, and wash your hands. and brush your hair.